We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Wake that ass up
early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got our co-host with us, Miss Portia Williams, and we got some special guests. We got Tammy Roman and
what's
Remy Ma.
What's good?
What up, Rem? What up, Tammy?
What's up?
Big Remy, not the little one.
That's right.
What up, Tammy?
Hi, Charlamagne.
What's happening?
How are you?
I'm blessed, black, and highly favored, man.
I feel it.
Y'all up here promoting movies and stuff?
Yes. You know how we do. We got a new one on Lifetime called Girl in the Closet. Which is coming March 11th at 8 on Lifetime.
I love Lifetime.
Everybody loves Lifetime. Like,
yes.
If you didn't grow up watching Lifetime, I don't know how to feel about you.
Yeah, and they're bringing more of us on there.
It's about time.
It's about time.
Because I've been watching white people stories for
right.
years.
Long time.
Right.
What's the movie about?
So it's based on actual events of this woman who lost her daughter and put her daughter in the custody of her sister, who is a very abusive and toxic individual who takes people and basically kidnaps them for their disability
y'all
checks
the
and
real,
social security
the real
checks.
Is like, this what is it? Basically,
listen, my kid gets taken by my psycho sister. She's crazy as hell. We picked Tammy to play. She plays the amazing role of the perfect psychosis, psychotic maniac. She's prostituting people, she's kidnapping them, stealing checks. Yeah,
she's
I'm
like
doing a lot. I'm doing a lot.
She's like the ultimate scammer on every level.
Yes.
And I'm like the heartbroken trying to find my kids.
She plays my sister, whose daughter I end up kidnapping. And we've never seen Remy like this before because this character is so soft.
So nice. So sweet.
And maternal and loving.
Wow.
And crying.
Why y'all be playing Rim like Rim don't do both?
Wow.
Rim has shown us both for years.
Wow.
Listen. What can I say?
Rim is a wife, a mother. You know what I mean? And a gangster.
I don't be understanding where does this narrative come from. Been married.
You don't understand?
I don't. I'm married 15 years. I'm about to be married 15 years. Yeah. I have wonderful children. And
listen,
you know,
I heard Remy on the phone with her daughter last night. And the daughter goes, so listen, little girl. Why you hang up on me?
To Remy.
And I said, I wonder where she got that from.
So how was working with Rem? Or how was working with each other, I should say?
Well, here's the thing with Rem. Cool person, loving person, but when she don't want to be bothered, she don't want to be bothered. So she comes on set and it's like, hey, sis. And then maybe 30 minutes later, we're in a room with people and Remy's in the corner, like just looking at everybody, like don't want to talk to nobody. watching everything. I'm like, you good? She's like, So everybody was scared of Remy on the set.
There was no reason to be scared. I'm just, Tammy's a social butterfly. Mm-hmm. So she's, hi, hey, oh yeah. And one time at Pancake, like that's Tammy. And I'm in the corner like, I'm listening, but I don't know these people.
You're like, I'm here to do my job.
Like, I don't know them. You know, people, you see people and they're like, hi, nice to meet you. How you know that? You just met me.
Right.
You don't know that.
But that's a good way to be. You can't let everybody energy in.
Yeah, because people be weird.
They be weird.
I like that, so.
Have you made the intentional transition, Rem, like away from music? Like to say, I'm going to go do other things?
You still owe us an album.
Not intentional. And it's on, and it's actually the 50th anniversary of hip hop. So I was like, huh, perfect time to do it. But I've also incorporated my new acting thing into everything. So you guys will see when that happens. But I feel like a lot of times with artists, when they know you for doing one thing, it's hard for them to see you do anything else. They want to keep you. We only want to see you do music until they see you do other things. Like when I started doing a lot of talk shows and hosting stuff like that, that's great. You should do that. And then when I started doing acts, it's like, oh, it's great. But when you talk about it, they're like, no, we just want an album. That's it.
Right.
Walk around the metal detectors. That's all they want. Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
You have to show them.
So that you disconnect on purpose then?
No, it's not on purpose. I still do. Last year, I had to think about it. Because, you know, like, you have the year in wrap up. And you're like, what did you do this year? And I'm sitting here, I'm putting it together. Of course, I never post it because I don't post. I mean, unless you pay me, then I post. But most of my posts that I plan to post, I start doing that. I write the long caption. I never post it. But I made a like reel of all the music that I did last year. Last year, I did a song with Rhapsody, the DJ Premier album.
Fire.
Love Rhapsody.
Fire. Phenomenal record. We played that.
I did a song for Prodigy's album. Rest in peace to Prodigy. I did a song with Mary J. Blige for the Good Morning Gorgeous deluxe album. I did two songs with Brandy when I was acting on Queens. They count. I don't care. We were in the studio. It's on Apple Music. They count. And I also did my husband's record with Wayne and 2 Chainz and Busta. So I'm like, I did like 7-8 features last year. I didn't do any solo projects, but in all of them, my part was the best part. I'm just saying.
Oh, hey. My goodness.
You talked about that with the 2 Chainz and Pap record. Yeah, like, sorry, God, but you got body.
Remy Killer.
I mean.
Well, when are we getting your solo album? Because you've been working on it for.
You know what I do?
Couple years.
I do. It's been done. It's
so what you waiting for?
So what happened was when I first did it. What happened was when I first did it, I got pregnant. And because I did IVF and everything that we went through, I put everything on hold. I'm like, I don't want to chance it. It was a lot on my body.
Stressful, yeah.
It was a lot on my bank account. And I was like, we want this to work. So I literally just put everything music on hold for my pregnancy and for my daughter. After I had my daughter, now I'm breastfeeding. I was like trying to be like this super cool mom. I'm going to do the breastfeeding thing for a couple of months. Couple of months turned into 2 years and 10 months. Like she was almost 3.
She was on the titty at almost 3?
Listen, that's why she's a genius.
That's why she talked to you like that. That's why she talked to you like that.
No, she is a genius.
That's a little long.
Yeah, she definitely did.
But we got in the middle of that, we got caught in COVID. So it was harder to like wean her up. If I was out and about, it probably would have never went that long because we was in the house. Nobody was really going out anywhere. It turned into that. And then after COVID, during COVID, I got a lot into that. We was doing State of the Culture. Then I was hosting the Wendy Show. And I just was doing so many other things that music kind of got pushed to the back. I was still recording music, still doing different things. Like any given time, Hitmaker's like, yo, what we doing? Like, you know what I'm saying? I work on music, but it's just other things that kind of push it out the way a little bit, but don't be, you know, don't try it, anybody listening. I wouldn't recommend that. The pen still works.
It's same thing with you, Tammy. That's why you disconnected from reality TV, just to show him, like, I want to get into my acting bag.
Tammy got so much thing coming down the damn pipeline. Mm-hmm.
I just didn't want to do reality anymore. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go back to scripted. I felt like I had shown enough of my life, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of that format. You mm-hmm. know, y'all all in my business. I feel mm-hmm. like I've given it all to you. There's nothing else to say. My kids are grown. And so it's like I wanted to go back to scripted. I wanted mm-hmm. to go back to playing characters and doing the things that I love and doing unscripted in other formats, not right. that ensemble stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, you know, we got caught in the act unfaithful. And that's the cheater style show. And I love doing that. And then all my other projects are scripted. Mm.
So in this one, it's based off of a true story.
Correct.
So like you jumped in on the deep end, because when you do a movie and it's based on a true story, you got to stay real close to the authentic story. You can't yeah. be changing up or none of that. Like, how was that for y'all? How did y'all prepare for that?
Well, this is my second, the first movie I ever did mm-hmm. that I actually started was the Big 50 Del Ronda Hood story mm-hmm. Based on a woman out of Detroit, and she was like super gangster, she's mm-hmm. selling drugs, she's a madam, she's yeah. doing all these different things, mm-hmm. and it was crazy because she was actually on set while we were filming, so it was like, you don't want to portray them in a way that right. they, that's unfavorable to them, mm-hmm. and I think when I felt in the same way, I would literally go to the side like, well,
right.
It was like, what was it? It was like one scene where they had her talking to her kids. Mm-hmm. And just from me being around her, I was like, I don't think she would play with these kids like this. Mm-hmm. Like the way that it was written, I was like, mm-hmm. If your kids, you told them to go to bed and they were still sitting there. She was like, what? I was like, yeah, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. So I would talk to the director. He's like, whatever you think, you know, to get more into the character, do that. Mm-hmm. And it was one scene where she had a scene where she was leaving her son. She was missing his games. And I turned to her and she's like on the side crying. And I was like, messed it up. I thought I messed it up. Uh-huh. She was like, because she was crying. Like, she's a very strong woman. So crying, mm-hmm. it didn't look like, it looked like she was pissed. I'm like, okay, I messed that up. And she was like, yo, that was like so touching. Mm-hmm. So doing that really helped me with this one, especially considering that the person that I'm playing is such a vulnerable situation, mm-hmm. like where you lost your child. So, yeah. you know, you have mm-hmm. to take those things into consideration. Yeah. Plus I have a kid, so you just mm-hmm. factor that in. Like, how would you feel if somebody took your kid? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think nobody would play with you like that, bro.
What,
people crazy.
Yeah, people are nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
people yeah. are surprised. Yeah. People know you really like that and they still play with you.
The streets mm-hmm. have changed. Yeah, it's a different time.
Now, tell me, how do you have the time to do all the things that you have between Miss Pat's show, the Unfaithful show, movies down the pipeline? Like, how do you find the time and what gives you the drive to still want to do it?
I don't sleep. I'm very much like you. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And I just go where the work is because that's what's important to me. But that what drives me is my kids. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be able to leave my kids something because my mm-hmm. mother didn't do it for me. Her mother didn't do it for her, because at that time, people didn't know about generational wealth mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. establishing things and leaving
you're
legacy.
Born in the red.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you know, you're already behind the eight ball. So for me, it's just important to change that narrative for my family going forward, my lineage going forward. So that's what motivates me. If it's work, I'm getting up and I'm doing it. I'm 2 hours of sleep on the plane, whatever it takes, I'm gonna be there to get the job done. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I seen a story, they were talking about Tammy doesn't eat, right?
Right. I eat.
I've been on set with you.
Yeah.
And I see Tammy eat, there's juices, there's food. I'm like, where is it coming from? Does that ever bother you? Because people would just make up their own stories, their own rumors. But me being on set, I'm like, no, she eats. And she eats a lot.
Yeah, I eat a lot. Well, the thing is, I have a condition that's called body dysmorphia. Mm-hmm. And I've had it since I was 13 years old. It is a mental disorder based on either trauma or genetics. Mm-hmm. And mine is trauma-based. And so what happens with that is the way I look at myself and the way people see me are two different things. Mm-hmm. And I always see myself, unfortunately, as, you know, that show, like My 600-Pound Life, no mm-hmm. matter how I look to people, when I look at myself, I can always pick something apart. I always feel like I'm overweight. Mm. And so because of that, there are moments where it's like, I gotta stop eating.
Yeah.
And then there are other moments where it's like,
I'm about to say, I think I'm hungry. Every girl got body dysmorphia if that's the case, because you feel a certain way about yourself.
No, but this is like people. Different, because there can literally be nothing wrong, but I will find something wrong. Mm-hmm. You understand? Like, I can find something. And so with the average woman, it's like, well, I think I want to lose a few mm-hmm. pounds. But if they don't, they're okay.
Right.
You know, with me, it's like, no, I've got to lose the pounds, you know, because I see this fold on my wrist
and
right here.
And it may not even really be there.
Yes.
But how do you deal? I think this is important. I've never actually heard you even say that you have body dysmorphia. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that, for a lot of young girls out here. How do you deal with having body dysmorphia where you're being so critical on yourself and you're really you're seeing yourself other than what you actually are, mm-hmm. which is almost the same way it is with commenters. They don't know you. They don't, right. Here mm-hmm. he just said you eat. Some people say you don't eat. How do you deal with them reflecting how they think you should look onto you? How do you deal with hearing yourself being hard on you and hearing the commenters? How do you shut it out, or how do you do that?
See, here's the thing. When I feel I look good, people will comment and say, you're too skinny.
You're too skinny.
You look like a bobblehead. Mm-hmm. She needs to gain some weight.
Mm-hmm.
All of that, in my mind, is a compliment. So they're viewing it as, girl, get your life together. I'm seeing bones. And I'm like, really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I look like a crackhead. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like,
what?
You know, it's like that. Yeah. So.
She lost my now.
She was wild. Don't go that far.
The thin. Yeah, anybody saying the word thin?
The thinness of it. But so when you're dealing with a person that has body dysmorphia, you're not helping them mm-hmm. by making those type of comments, because mm-hmm. their mind works in reverse.
Mm. Right.
So like, if I had to put anything out there to people, it's like, it doesn't take much to be kind, and you mm-hmm. don't know right. what a person's going through.
Yeah, mind your business.
Yeah, just mm-hmm. mind your business.
And don't comment on women's weight.
And don't comment on it. And then
their looks.
I'm a diabetic too. So like, all of that comes into play for me. You know what I mean? So it's just kind of like, leave me alone. Let me deal with my issue and try to, you know, work my way through it to the best of my ability, which every day is a struggle.
I'm glad you're sharing your story, but me do you too. Feel the need to explain yourself just because people comment?
I have. Mm-hmm. And so once I've explained it, mm-hmm. whatever their comments are, mm-hmm. then that's just you know, do mm-hmm. what you feel you need to do to get it off your chest, because that's everybody feels.
How do you fix that? Like, is there a cure for that?
Is it therapy?
No.
There's no
cure. You can go through therapy, mm-hmm. but there is no cure. And so you just have to learn how to manage and retrain your mind mm-hmm. to not overthink and really process what you're seeing versus what you feel you see, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I've been in therapy for years mm-hmm. and I still deal with it. It never goes away.
Well, I think you are, with me hearing this now that that's your truth, I think you are possibly one of the strongest women in reality TV, because being on reality TV, you are living your whole life there and people are critiquing everything about you, mm-hmm. your looks included. Mm-hmm. And not only them, you to yourself. You see yourself on camera and it's like, oh, I look bigger. Oh my God.
Yes.
Like each season I would drop like 15, 20 pounds, because it's like, I'm looking at last season and I see what the weight was.
Yeah.
And so now, not being in reality TV, is it helping some to where you are just living your own life? You're the owner of it and you don't have that reflection from reality TV, being in the real world of Hollywood now and not in reality world.
Well, I think the worlds are synonymous, right? Reality TV, people are still looking at you and mm-hmm. judging. And then when they watch you on a TV show, they're still looking at you and judging. Mm-hmm.
But it's
same.
Not as personal, because when we see you acting, we could almost think that you could be slimmer for the role.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and we don't, they get a little less into that, because, you know, reality fans are kind of crazy. They really are invested in you. Like they are your sister, your auntie, whatever.
I think that would be the case if I had never done reality TV, and if it was always just scripted,
mm-hmm.
then it's like, oh, these are the things she's doing for a role. But because so many people have been a part of my life already, they know the story. It's like, this was the girl who got her mouth wired in 1993. You've seen me battle
that.
This
mm-hmm. right.
forever. Yeah. It's just that nobody knew what I was actually dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I just let people do and say what they feel they need to do and say.
As
and
you
I
should.
Try, you know, my husband is a good support system for me to try to keep me mm-hmm. just on track.
But we think
you can't win for lose, though.
Yeah. Thinking beautiful inside and out. Like, you know, you're a good person, mm-hmm. and a lot of people don't know that because they see the reality.
Yeah.
But as a person outside of that, you are a beautiful person inside out. Me and my wife love you, and
love
you know, we got a lot of love for you. Yeah.
But you can't win for lose, though, because sometimes they say you're too thin, but then they'll be like, oh, Tammy be photoshopping her ass in pictures.
Oh,
and she
I'm,
got a BBL.
I'm Photoshop. I ain't got no BBL.
Okay.
But
I'm saying they say both is what I'm saying.
I'm going to fix my pictures.
Right.
Because if you want to see me in the raw, I got a whole page called Bonnie Chronicles for that. You see that Bonnie, you see that. No, maybe you get it all how you want to live. But on my page, mm-hmm. it's gonna be edited down to the ground. But I do not have a BBL. I did get my ass done. I got some, you know, shots in my ass way back when. And, you know, that's I'll tell anybody the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, right. I'm going to fix what I feel I need to fix mm-hmm. because of who I am and what I deal with anyway. Mm-hmm. So if I don't like something, I'm going
to
fix it.
Right. Yeah, it's good to see Remy and Tammy together, especially this grown, evolved version, because 10 years ago, this would be the tag team champion of the world.
What?
Oh, we were talking about us. I literally just said, us together this could be something here because this, you know, we're like the same person. We just handle it differently.
Right. Nah, I don't think that's the truth. Because Tammy's triggered too, right? You see this new Tammy? No. So I was on set with, Unfaithful, and it's a cheetah show. Okay. And, I'm on a couple of episodes with Tammy helping her out.
That's my partner.
Okay.
And this one girl says something to Tammy, and the whole Tammy changed. Tammy was motherly, like, you know, you need to change this. You need to look out for this. And then Tammy's like, got on the edit.
Like
what, what'd you say?
No, because she said, don't make me get up out. She said that to me, Envy. Don't make me get up out this chair. So I said, if you get up out that chair, you're going to get what you want.
Mm. Right.
On the edge of the seat like this, I dare you.
The host then turned.
Yeah, everybody was like, oh my God, Tim, you know.
That had to be the nice guy. Ma'am, please don't get out that chair.
Like,
sit there.
I don't think you should do that.
Sit
when the last time that happened to you, Rem? When the last time somebody talked crazy to you?
Yeah. Nobody really talked crazy to me in person. Mm-hmm. They do it like away from me. I'm be honest. I haven't really had anybody physically in my face do anything crazy.
Do you miss it?
No, I don't. I'm tired of paying people money. Like,
I'm
tired of that. I'm
tired
of getting locked up. Got to go in there and talk to these people. I don't like that. That's not cool. But I tell people all the time, I've changed. I've changed, meaning that I've changed the way I react to things,
the way
that I even receive things, because certain things that used to really piss me off doesn't really bother me as much. Mm-hmm. But be very clear, I'm still the same person. Mm-hmm. And she's like right underneath the surface. Like, not deep down inside. Nah.
It ain't that deep.
I'm like a paper cut away. I nick my hand on the razor. And I'm like, what? What happened? Like, you gotta be very careful. Like, but I feel like I give people respect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not a bully. I don't just go. Mm-hmm, right. Somebody did something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that person.
I feel the same way.
No, yeah. Because most of the time, it's my reaction. People never pay attention to what caused it.
That's correct.
Right.
So, and I don't want to say, because I don't think I overreact. Other people think. Like, it's like, you step on my foot, on my shoe, I want to, like, amputate your whole leg. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, I'm going to step on your shoe back. Like, no, it's no tit for tat. It's like tit for...
Well, Jay-Z say, don't make me do it till you're done it, because I overdo it.
Yeah. You know? Like, stop.
You don't get to choose my reaction.
Yeah, people want to do things to you and be like, oh, but I don't even think it was that serious. You shouldn't have done nothing.
But Remy,
serious to
you have a four-year-old.
I love her.
That's about to start playing sports and go to school. And she's probably going to get into an incident like all kids do.
It's up. I already told her.
What does it's up mean?
I already told her the meaning of cousins, because she's where she's at. We live not too far from you. Mm-hmm. She's a wonderful school. But she's very close with her cousins that still live in Queens.
Just in case.
She will tell you quick. Watch when my cousins come. I'm like, yeah. The power of cousins. You got to know how it is. But she's so different. She's so sweet. Like, she's me without all the trauma that I went through. Because I feel like I was actually a really nice person before the world just started fucking with me. And I had to prepare myself to, you know, deal with the world. And I think that's with a lot of people. A lot of people, we don't... There's some people that I think started out evil. Let me not say everybody. But for the most part, most people start out a certain way.
People.
And then the things that you go through in life, it tends to make you like, okay, in order to protect myself from this, this is how I got to be. Right. Or in order to survive through this, this is how I got to be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of things that I went through in my life, I couldn't be walking around like, hey, hi, you want to make cupcakes? No, it wouldn't mm-hmm. work. Like, mm-hmm. that's just not going to happen. But I do feel like me and her dad, my husband, we installed, like, you know, all the good things. Like, it's so crazy because we talk about it all the time. Like, she has no idea that this world is, like, horrible.
Right.
She
mm-hmm.
literally walks in the store, just throws everything in the cart. She doesn't understand the concept of money. Mm-hmm. She's like, it's 12 o'clock at night. Come on, I want to have fun. Like, go to bed. No, mm-hmm. I need more. Like, she just, mm-hmm.
See, even that is different mm-hmm. for her to say, like, no, it's time to go to bed. Like, that's a different Remy yes. than the Remy we know. That, yeah. you know, when she's mommy Remy. Because mm-hmm. me, I'm like, why are you up at 12? Like, you know, like my kids mm-hmm. is in the bed at 9 and I'm not playing with
it. I wanted to be a kid for as long as she could be a kid.
Yeah. Right.
I feel like
you're a gentle parent.
Yeah, I'm not one of those like, oh, I'm going to talk to you, go in the corner quiet time. When I do the REM, she's like, fine. Like,
yeah. Not fine.
You're not going to be falling out in the mall doing all of that crazy. Right. That's what we're not doing. Like, mm-hmm. it's definitely, but I feel like with me, with my siblings, a lot of my friends that grew up, we all had to grow up
mm-hmm. absolutely.
Way sooner than right. we mm-hmm. should have. Like, we didn't really get a chance to be a kid. Like, I want mm-hmm. her to be a kid for as long. I want her to play with dolls. Mm-hmm. I want her to watch cartoons. I want her to, you know, have fun.
Correct.
I don't want her to feel like, because when it happens, it's going to happen eventually.
Yeah, that's
I don't
right.
want to feel that pressure of the world prematurely.
Right.
Are you the same with Pilar?
I'm the exact same way. And, you know, I mean, I used to be a little tough too back uh-huh. in the day, and but having a child, my daughter's also 4, it just automatically changes something in you, you know what I mean? Like, when I went to anger management for like maybe like 6 sessions, out of what I got up from it was the power is given to you as soon as I react. Mm-hmm. So I almost get like a turn on in order for you to say something to me and me not even react to it. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. my reactions now, I'll walk away from
it's
something
no reaction. Being disrespectful.
Yeah, and I'll get in my car like, yeah, I did that. Even though back in the day I have to show you what I'm gonna do, yeah. me not reacting or handling it a different way, it's more powerful for me now. So it does.
That's, and yeah, that's good, because I haven't
anger
gotten
management
there.
Classes made me mad.
Really?
Well, see, it did.
I used to be in there tight. Like, this is stupid. Only thing I learned is my physical cues. Now I'd be like, oh, I'm getting tight. My hands are sweating.
Why did it make you mad?
Because they sitting there like, it's just dumb to me.
Because she doesn't want to hold the therapy. I want to be mad. What really makes her angry.
But see, that's the thing. The first thing mine told me was your anger, you being pissed, is all an emotion and it's okay. So first you have to agree with what your body mm-hmm. is doing and what you're feeling yeah. is okay. Then right. you can recognize it. Then you can say, okay, these are triggers that cause me to react this way.
Was knowing my physical cues, because I used to just be mad. I'd be sitting there and I'd be like, oh shit, my hand's sweating.
Right. Yeah, it's going down.
Nostrils flaring.
That's right.
Foot tapping. It's up.
Yeah,
like
so,
I just be watching.
So you skip
them.
The whole part of
I
like
don't
I'm
care about
feeling
this because
you skipped all
this. Man, this was part of my parole. I didn't go there because I was trying to help myself.
But you learned something.
They sent me there and let me see something. All the stuff that I do before I, because I used to just be like, well, I go from 0 to 100. I really go. I'd be like 0.
But that's how you stop yourself at 40.
50.
That's what I'm
42.
Saying.
Yeah. You're
yeah.
38.
Like,
oh,
like,
God.
I always thought it was 0 to 100. It's really not.
Yeah.
I'll be gradually getting there.
Yeah.
And that's how you stop yourself.
But that's what she said. She's not stopping.
Once I'm mad, that's it.
You're supposed to see the cue so you can yeah, know
so
to stop.
You can know.
It's all right, Lord. She's a work in progress.
I'm not working on it.
Jesus. Rim like the Incredible Hulk. Like, don't make me angry.
Now, I like it.
Now, I got to ask. I heard you on JC Lee talking about when Cardi B changes her profile pic to you.
Mm-hmm.
When did you see that? And how does that make you feel? Because you just wake up and all of a sudden... You trending
it don't
again.
It make me feel like I really don't be on social media as much as people probably would think I do. Like, if I'm posting something, I'm literally in the moment. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're all posting. Or somebody's paying me to post. I don't really be. So I just
but why
started...
did she change it? I don't know what's tea. Because I feel
chick,
like there was some
why.
Tea rooted in
no,
that.
No, she was beefing with Nikki at the time. And when they were beefing, she posted her profile pic.
She posted her cousin. She basically
she
like, don't make me go get
she
my cousin.
She posted her cousin.
But she was
she did what your daughter did. She posted her cousin.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. She was... Cardi was in support of Remy. Like,
of course.
Yeah. Okay, got it. She
like saying, don't make me call business. Remy.
Got it.
I wasn't even doing nothing. Like, at all, period. I was like chilling somewhere, minding my own little one, too. That's what I do. I mind my business. Yeah.
It is interesting though, Rim, because like female rap is like, boom, I don't even like to call it female rap, but a lot of women in rap are popping right now.
It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and it's just like, yo, people would love to hear your voice in the mix.
I think that's dope. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're not gonna say yes.
It's not like you went anywhere though.
You know what it is? Yeah. If you're not constantly in people's face and giving them new music, my thing is, I don't feel like that I have to validate myself by doing it. I am who I am. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't count, like, people like, oh, men lie, women lie, numbers don't. Oh, men lie, women lie, and numbers don't always mean anything.
Yeah, numbers right. lie too now.
It ain't even that they lie. They not always the end all say all.
Right.
Like, you have all the numbers in the world. Like, when everybody know what's up when it come to me, and I'm okay with that. I don't feel like, oh, I got to drop a project to show people. I'm cool. I'm all right. I live great. I'm cool, calm, collected, I look good. I ain't stressed out.
Right.
Like, these people, they be stressed out. Music will stress you out. I be looking at them, I be like, she's stressed. You can see the stress all in the face. Word.
Yeah.
Like, you can't.
What rapper is out right now that you respect? Like, since we are, look, we didn't ask you about five different times, where your music at? Who would you say right now could possibly hold a candle to you? Like, possibly. Doja Cat.
I don't like.
Wow. Talk to the mic. Talk to the mic.
I don't like the hold the candle, idea, but I think everybody in their own respect has something that I like about them.
Yeah.
Like I love Lola Brooke. I like her. Like, she's just so energetic and just seems fun, and she's really like enjoying her moment. I like Glow. I like Glorilla. I like Latto, I like Spice. I like everybody for different reasons.
Right.
It was a point where it seemed like everybody was doing the exact same thing.
Oh, it still feels like that a little bit to me.
It's starting to be where you can kind of, okay, this is her sound, and this is what she sounds like, and this is what, like, it's people starting to carve out their little niches. And I think we need that. I've never been a hater. I've never been somebody, I've always been like, yo, I don't know no rappers that started out with money. Like, we all come from the bottom. So when people be talking money, I got this. We all got money. Some got a little bit more than others, but we all came from nothing. So anything that you're doing right now is a plus from where you came from and where you could have been. So I'm just happy to see all of them. I don't really have a favorite because when I see them, it's the same love reciprocally. I'm like, oh my God, I love you. I hope you're enjoying it. And I'm the one that's always trying to make sure you do this. Are you staying on type of this? Save some of your money. Buy a house. Don't, like, you know what I'm saying? I try to do some of the things that I wish people would have told me earlier on. And I think that's what it's about. A lot of times people feel like it's always about who can hold a torch to you or who's competition, who's that. Nah, it's not about that. Like, I wish I had somebody that came and was like, yo, I see what you're doing. I appreciate it. Yo, let me tell you something. Let me put you with this lawyer real quick. Let me put you with this financial advisor. Yo, are you into stocks and this? Maybe you should look into this. Like, just to give people a different.
But that's people that are secure.
Right.
That want to share knowledge and information. When you're insecure, it goes back to how you feel like you got to validate your position and hold court. You know what I mean? To make sure people remember, this is what I did. This is how.
But if you're insecure, you probably shouldn't even be in this business because you'd be ready to you read the wrong comment.
Insecurity has never stopped anybody. You know, people's just gonna get up in there and get in where they fit in. But I think with music in particular, I am hoping that it gets back to that era that I grew up in where everybody had their own lane.
Because you got a rapper in your house.
I do.
/ actress.
I do. Yes, Jazz. Hey, shout out to Jazz, who loves you, by the way. You already know that.
I love her, too.
But,
in the movie with us.
Yes, she is. She plays my daughter, Angela.
Her daughter plays her daughter.
Oh, that's cute. My daughter plays my daughter.
But the pen game is what I'm used to with rap, and I feel like all the women were sounding the same, and it's got to be a twerk situation, you know. And I grew up on like Latifah with Unity and Eve with Rough Rider, you know, and Light was doing her thing, and you know, we had all those. Lil Kim was sexy, you know, like we don't have enough diversity in women in rap now, and I would like to see us get back to
you still got that though. And I think even some of them look the part but still can spit like a JT. You know what I mean? Like, JT can spit to me. Glorilla can spit to me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
Rhapsody, of course. That's a whole nother topic.
That's a different thing.
You spit your gum out, please.
He's in the League of Parole.
Can you spit your gum out? You chewing the whole interview?
You wait till now. The interview almost over. Why are you going to make us spit the interview out? Spit the gum out now. So,
all right. Thanks, Rem. So, Rem, when you got, you know, this new industry, it seems like everybody's telling on each other, right? Snitching immediately. When you got locked up, I'm sure you could have told on some people and not did the time.
No, the fuck I couldn't have.
Yeah, who else was involved?
What do you think?
That's not even an option. Like, what are you talking about?
Okay, maybe not. What do you think about this new world and the snitching and how it goes now?
Crazy. What's wrong with him?
He's the son of a cop.
You gotta know. You gotta
son of a cop. Listen,
you gotta know what snitching is first.
No, I don't discriminate. There's, you're a civilian, so it's not just like if you're telling somebody, you're cooperating. That's just that. And I feel like a lot of times people are like, well, you know, they're a civilian. And they're like, if you're a civilian, stay hanging with civilians and be around civilians. Don't be a civilian and hang out with people that are like that. Don't do it.
No,
but try to justify what you did because, you know, y'all know I wasn't really like that. And then people that, y'all, this is what y'all do, and y'all in that line
now,
of work
Remy,
or business,
no.
Keep these people that's really not built like that away from you, because when the pressure's on, they're going to fall. And I blame both parties. You shouldn't have been hanging with them, and you shouldn't have had them around you.
So you're saying don't make yourself a witness.
Don't make yourself
don't even be over there.
Don't make yourself a witness, because now, luckily, we live in times where witnesses could just walk around, party, post where they at, and it happens. And I remember a time where your family wouldn't even talk. Your family like, we don't deal with him because they didn't want any problems. Right. Whereas you have to protect yourself. And I tell anybody that, like, that's because I can't tell people how to live. You don't know what their situation. Some people, they're in certain situations because that's all they know. That's all they have. Like, you got certain parts of the world where you either going to be in this gang or you gonna be in the ground. Like, which side are you on? Like, that's just the culture that that they are growing up in and that they're living in. All right, if that's what it is, you got to be smart enough to know that you can't just have anybody in your circle, because there will come a time where they're going to be given an option, and there's no loyalty, there's no codes. Every man is for themselves, and a lot of the stuff, unfortunately, that we were taught growing up, don't snitch, don't do this, don't do that. We was taught wrong. Like, they taught us, like, they really had us jammed up thinking, but for most of my life, that's why people have this perception of who they think I am, because you couldn't show feelings, you couldn't show emotions, you gotta hide everything. People can only see this part of you, or they're gonna try you or whatever. And that's not really how you get through life. Once you see what the world really is outside of the hood, outside of poverty, you don't need to be like that. You can be vulnerable. Yeah. You can, you know, express how you are. You can move accordingly to the way the world works. But unfortunately, for a lot of people that are like us, that look like us, that's not their reality. And they getting jammed up, and they giving them a whole bunch of time. Like, I was lucky enough to, you know, do as much time as I did and come home still with a little bit of my sanity, how much I had before I went in. But a lot of people, they don't make it out. Like, so many people that we don't hear about die in prison, get strung out on drugs to where they are zombies, or they come home and never recover, and they go back because you've been ripped out of society for so long, you don't know how to even function.
Yeah.
Like, when I came home, I didn't know how to use a phone. I'd never seen an iPhone in my life. I'd never seen Instagram, Twitter. I had to learn all of these things, like, on the fly while I'm in it.
That's crazy.
So imagine somebody who's been...
You're telling?
I'm telling.
Okay.
I feel like if I'm involved with you and I know the dirt you're doing, and so I'm clear that I'm a participant in that. Something go down, I got to take my L. But if I don't know, and you just kind of...
It happened.
Something happened, and I don't know, and now they trying to jam me up, I'm telling. I'm not going to jail for some shit that I didn't know I was even a party to. Like, who's going to do that?
So, Remy, that's fine, right?
I thought the end of what you're telling.
Y'all holding the same card?
I'm saying if we rolling out together and I know that this is what it is and we doing this, even if I didn't partake in whatever the crime may be, but I know and I'm hanging with you and something go down, no, I'm not telling on you. But if we rolling down the road and I don't know you got couple keys in the back, and now they like, these your keys. I'm like, no, the fuck, they not my keys. Jack and Trump. I don't know who it is. I may be like this. I don't know who it is, but I know it.
saying it's not mine is not the same as saying
it's his.
It's hers. Uh-huh.
That's what Gunna did. Gunna said, like, it's not mine. Gunna was in the car. Like, Gunna said, okay, the stuff in the car wasn't mine. That?
Okay, but I feel like that's not the same. People have to understand, and then you have to know your rights. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of times people just be scared.
Yep.
And they be talking. Mm-hmm. And the goal, let me just drop something.
Y'all. Go ahead.
Drop,
go Remy, go.
The
go.
Goal, because I tell people this all the time, everybody that is in prison is not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
The same way that everybody that's walking around these streets is not innocent. Y'all mm-hmm. think all the guilty people are in jail right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then how many times have we protested for wrongdoings mm-hmm. and you think every cop, every prosecutor, every DA, every judge got it right every time? Mm-hmm. But every single person that's in jail. So that's the first thing that you need to understand, that everybody is, and it's not always exactly as it happened. Because think about it, when you tell the story, you're gonna try to put it to the way that it favors to you. People don't go in there and tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help them out. They bend it, they mm-hmm. squeeze it out a little bit. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things don't be exactly how it is. Also, their job is to convict. If you look at any DA, any yeah. prosecutor, anything, mm-hmm. the federal government, mm-hmm. their bragging rights is such and such percentage conviction rate.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that means mm-hmm. you don't want a 20% conviction rate. That means you trash. They want the high 99%, 90% mm-hmm. conviction rate. They're not trying to find out if you're innocent or not. They're mm-hmm. trying to get a conviction.
That's correct.
And when people understand that, they will understand. Like, I've seen so many times where people are like, yeah, and they wasn't trying to find the truth. When that's the right. last time you, when mm-hmm. have you ever seen cops with a pen and pad? Excuse me, yes, ma'am. Did you see anything? A magnifying glass, mm-hmm. a little hat with a cap on mm-hmm. both ends? You don't. They sit there and wait for somebody to call them,
right.
tell them information. They lurk on social media, listen to rap lyrics, all mm-hmm. these different things. They're not doing no real investigation work. Like,
So what's the gem?
What's the
What you telling people to convict?
Yeah, it's up to you to prove you're innocent.
You have to prove yeah. that you're innocent. They don't have to prove that you're guilty.
So mm-hmm. you're saying because you have to prove that you're innocent, you don't have to snitch on nobody to do it.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell nobody. Because right. either way, it's not that. About the truth.
They don't care about mm-hmm. the truth. They do not care. They want to convict. I feel it's crazy that you can say, I did a crime, you did a crime, and she did a crime. We all did it together. But if she goes and tell them everything that we did, she goes home and we go to jail.
That's right.
So...
But Tammy trying to say she ain't going to jail for nobody. No, we all going.
But if we did the crime together. But if we did the crime together, mm-hmm. then we just all going to be up in there together.
The
but if
the
y'all did the crime
works,
and I did not,
I'm the way
I
the law know. Works, we can all do it together. One of us can decide that I'm going to tell everything.
True. Right.
I'm going to go home.
Immunity.
Or do a little bit of time.
Right.
And everybody else is
yeah,
going to
that's not right. Yep.
How is that? Like, how is that? You have mm-hmm. people out here that be like, yeah, I'm going to do this, this, and this. And if I get caught, I'm telling. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna go home. Mm-hmm. That's
yeah,
crazy.
That's not the same. That is insane.
Mm-hmm. And that's how it works. The way you speaking on this one particular case, it's clear who they want.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, correct. Yeah,
yeah. It's very clear yeah. the person that they want. So you could go, you could go, you could go. You go home to your kids. You go home to your kids. You go. This who we want.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. And that's justice.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, right. I'm not. I'm never jacking that. I'm never. And people don't never point these things out. They're like, well, they shouldn't have been doing this. You mm-hmm. rich. You should like. Just because you got money, like it's worse when you got money.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens when you have money, everybody that you know, you still got cousins that live mm-hmm. in the hood, mm-hmm. siblings that ain't really got, like, people ain't Jeff Bezos rich where they could take their whole family and buy an island somewhere. Mm-hmm. So you still have certain affiliations. And you will be surprised the situations that you get put into because people look at you as a target, as a human ATM machine, and you get jammed up. And if you real and you stand up and you were brought up on certain principles, you're going to find yourself sitting in the courtroom like this, taking an L while everybody else acting like they innocent and acting like they good and living their life. And unfortunately, it mainly affects our community.
All I'm hearing is why people highly request Remy Ma to be the co-host on The Breakfast Club. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh, we tried, but Remy wants to know how much we paying.
Put the dollar up.
No, I'm serious. I'm not joking. Remy's like, yeah, well, how much I got?
Serious. Like, hold up. Let me tell you something.
There you go.
Here it is.
I did a lot of stuff in my life. Like, seriously, mm-hmm. almost everything. And I thought about it with this, like, damn, is this one of those situations? Almost everything that was life-changing in my life, I did for free.
Mm-hmm.
When I did Annie Up Remix, I was a teenager. I was straight out of high school. I begged mm-hmm. my A&R to get me the instrumental. I put my verse on it. I was like, just let them hear it. Changed my life. When I did Lean Back, I didn't even have a record deal. We went to the studio, we was at Cali House in Miami, stole Joe's verse off of it, put myself on the song, changed my life. Mm-hmm. When I did All The Way Up, I don't even think we signed paperwork to this day. I might have to call Joe. It was just an idea. If it comes out good, we're gonna rock with it. If it don't, nobody will never know we did it. Changed my life. All the little times that I was doing Wendy and stuff like that, they pay me, but they ain't paying me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Changed my life. So I feel like I paid my dues. I did a lot of things. Like the reason why people request, because I'm really good at what I do.
Absolutely. This is,
I feel like not too many people that look like us. If you look at all the talk show people and the talk show hosts, they're all 50 plus. They melanin challenged.
Mm-hmm. They white.
If they're not, they not really swaggy, dress a little like, you know, uptight because they dress how you feel you're supposed to dress if you're on TV, and ain't really been through nothing. I've been married, I've had children. I had a kid when I was a teen. I had a kid since I've been an adult. I've been incarcerated. I've been famous. I've been poor. I've had rich. I've been poor after I was rich. Like, and all of these things are make you. And I'm kind of really smart. A lot of people think rappers are dumb. We're really not. Well, the whack ones are.
You're not one.
The whack ones. But when you meet the Eminems and the Jay-Zs and the Jadakiss, they are really smart.
Absolutely.
And they are also, most of them are really funny. That's how they come up with. So all of these things, and that's what comprises the amazing reminisce that you
so
see
basically
sitting.
The Breakfast Club can't change her life is what
you right, yeah, so, right, right. So if we want to repair, she needs
some
so bread.
They can't change your life, or they need to pay you what you're worth.
But what I say, first of all, I gotta sit here and look at this guy over here in the morning. I still don't like Envy. He got this dog in my house.
It protects your house.
Wait, you really have a dog in her house?
No, her husband called me one day when moving to Jersey and says, hey, you know, sometimes we travel. And I said, well, I have a dog. Let me give you my dog, lady.
Gucci Mane said that's a punk-ass dog,
for protection.
Man. Y'all got a punk-ass dog.
They got
in
a dog to protect the house.
I didn't understand the purpose of him giving the number for the dog when he had already gave us the number for the security system. Like,
so
what was the point?
That?
It was like,
it's just
a twofer.
Extra security.
Yeah, it's a twofer.
They said the first thing they moved to Jersey. I said, this is a good security system. They've got cameras everywhere. You can see it everywhere in the phone. It got motion sensors. It will secure your house. But just in case.
By the way, keep my dog.
No, I said, just in case you're out of town or Rem's out of town and you want extra protection, there's a dog that will bite somebody's head off.
This dog
what
was
kind of
$27,000.
What kind of dog is it?
First of all,
they have a Belgian Malinois.
No. Okay. That's what y'all have. We got the Calm one. We have the German Shepherd.
I have a German Shepherd too. No. Okay, so I got the Shepherd.
We got the German Shepherd.
Okay. Well,
the German Shedder is what I like to call it.
That's my wife calls it.
Real quick, Rem, because we got to go back to something. So you never got paid for none of those classic verses?
I got my publishing because I write my own material and I got my royalties. But like as a feature fee, no.
Wow.
And well,
that's a lesson in that.
And then All The Way Up and Lean Back were both my songs. Like people always say Fat Joe's record, but it's actually, if you ever look, it's Fat Joe and Remy Ma. Like it's not a feature. But yeah, and I was okay with that.
Yeah.
I was okay with it. And I tried to explain to people all the time, like everything is not about. So when they was calling me about this, I was like, is this one of those situations where I should just do it? Fine. We talk about something to promote. And I told him I was doing my rap battle thing, and I wanted to come last month before my rap battle came. But I guess y'all had some other whack people on that was nowhere near.
Nobody told us that.
Portia was on the schedule.
Nobody told us that.
Envy is shady.
Nobody told us that. We definitely had room up here.
So I'll come later on when we have something to do.
Anytime you want to come and tell me, you know, anytime you want to come as well.
These are my family members. I've known Envy for a very, very long time. Don't tell any old story. And the same thing with Charlamagne. I'm gonna tell them he risked my life. He had me in the sticks in some way. It was no
Summerton, South Carolina.
It was dirt road.
What happened?
Club New Vibe.
He hired me to do a show and I didn't, there was no roads.
No roads.
Like, why are we driving on mud roads? What juke joint are we going to right now?
Juke joint like that. We
didn't have a kitchen.
Flew them to a
long time ago. We talking about like, this literally might have been 20 years ago, yo.
Yo, literally. Juke joint.
But he booked me somewhere, put me on Southwest.
On Southwest.
Southwest.
And now you in the dirt road.
Southwest? Nah, I wasn't fucking. It was like 07, 08. This was.
No, me?
Yeah.
I was going by then, though. It wasn't 07, 08? 05,
05, 06.
05, 06.
Yeah. I know you guys got to go. I know you got TV, so y'all got to get a power.
Yes. So please, everybody, don't forget to check out Girl in the Closet, which is on Lifetime.
March 11th at 8.
At 8, please. Check us out. Check us out.
This amazing woman in all her talents. Are you going to tell them about your production thing and how you have all these movies that you're doing?
I do have all these movies. Thank you.
Her own, like she's making them.
I'm behind the scenes
she hired me, you know.
Yes, I did. Yes. We're doing another project together, and then Envy. I can't wait for people to see you this season on.
You play him on camera.
He is my co-host.
Back on Cheetah.
And we were so excited to have him. And let me tell you some of the gems he drops, because people are like, "Why is he that?" You know, like or whatever. This dude, like, on some for real, like relationship expert, like. He is the truth of how this can happen in your life, what you should do.
Well, he's got experience.
He has experience in it, but that's the best place to speak from, right? Like life experience and the wisdom of all that. And so everybody really loves him.
Shut up. Be careful on that show.
Me?
I'm playing like it, but I really like, be careful.
No. It's good. So yeah, Girl in the Closet.
All right. Well, thank you guys. It's Tammy Roman. It's Remy Ma.
Yeah.
And it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
See new things. Try new things. Go back centuries while living in the moment. Forge new paths while discovering old ones. Pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at AvalonWaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.